through 5. But I'm going to go up 2 more verses and just sort of give it some context here. Look at verses 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in the heavens for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. We're living in a careless kind of world. We're living in the last days. We must look at God's word to understand how we prepare in this life for the next life. We see that 1 Peter deals with outside forces, and 2 Peter deals with inside forces of the church. Persecution can cause either growth or bitterness in the Christian life. How we respond determines the results. In writing to these Jewish believers struggling in the midst of persecution, Peter wants to encourage them to be Christians, to conduct themselves as Christians. And when you look at this area in which he is talking about, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, it is what we call present-day Turkey today. It is an area where these Christians were dispersed, and they are suffering persecution. And what Peter wants them to understand is that there's future assurance to all Christians who are going through present suffering and circumstances, whether it's past, present, or future. He wants them to know that in Christ Jesus, that we have assurance. Our assurance is fortified in Jesus Christ. And what I want us to understand this evening is that our present situation, condition, and circumstances does not compare to our future. That is, heaven is already assured. What we must understand according to Romans the 8th chapter, brothers and sisters, let's go to Romans the 8th chapter. Let's read something very powerful here in Romans the 8th chapter and verses 18. It says in Romans, the 8th chapter, in verses 18, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Also in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and verses 17, "For our light affliction," which is what? "But for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." For the next few minutes, I'm talking on a subject, future assurance. Future assurance. We may have life insurance, or as I call it, death insurance, car insurance, house insurance, health insurance, dental insurance. We have all kinds of insurance. But do we have future, or understand about our future assurance? When it comes to suffering, we all have gone through a lot. And we have seen a lot that has happened in the Middle Tennessee area. We have seen tornadoes and floods and houses being torn off their foundation, businesses being torn off their foundation, sickness, death. There's always shooting. People are always talking about Memphis. Something always happened in Memphis. Folk get shot and killed in Nashville every day. So Nashville is no different. Memphis is just more interesting. But anyway, what we have to realize is that things are happening in our life. There are things that happen in Franklin every day that we don't even know about. There's always something going on, my brothers and sisters. And one of the things that I liked about Martin Luther King Jr. when he was alive, he talked about going to the mountaintop. He said he'd been to the mountaintop. He had seen things better than what they were at that time. And what we must realize is that we all are going to go through something in this life. Even in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 12, it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, and that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy." I know it's tough. The Lord knows that it's tough, but we got to believe in him. And what he says to those going through persecution and those who are suffering, he tells them that we have something far greater that awaits us as Christians. He tells us to the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the knowledge of the God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Number one, we have conserved, God at least have conserved heaven for us. There are things that already awaits us as Christians. To conserve means to protect what is already there. We have this new birth. We have mercy. We have this living hope. How did it come about? It came about through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we obey Jesus Christ, when we put him on in the liquid gray water baptism, there are things that awaits us. We are sprinkled by his blood. We are given the Holy Spirit. We are sanctified, justified, glorified. We are all these things are conserved for us as Christians. That's why, my brothers and sisters, when we go through a hard time, we got to realize what is already in store for us. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. We need to trust God in spite of the things that are going on, because he have conserved for us things already done in Christ Jesus. All we have to do is obey him through baptism and continue to be obedient to him. These are things that are conserved. But look at what is reserved for us. He says in verses 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Not only are things conserved for us, but things are reserved for us. How do we know that? Because when Jesus died on the cross, he went back to heaven. He says, I'm going to what? Prepare a place for you. It is indestructible, incorruptible, unfading. Nothing can ruin it, nothing can defile it, and nobody can steal it away, because it is reserved in heaven for us. It is indestructible, untouched by death, freedom from death and decay. No one can destroy it. It is incorruptible, unstained by evil, freedom from uncleanness or moral impurities, and no sin can go against it. It is unfading. It is unimpaired by time, freedom from natural ravages of time. No one can take its beauty. We all have this inheritance, and this inheritance is indestructible. It is our kingdom. It is our that does not fade away, because it is reserved in heaven. And my brothers and sisters, one of the things we have to realize as an example is that when you go to a hotel, you really don't want to get there and the rooms are gone. You want to make what? Reservations. Because when you get there, your room is already reserved for you that night or that day. Jesus has already reserved heaven for us. And that's something to think about. All the things that we go through in this world, he has given us his blood. He has given us his death. He has given us his resurrection. And he says he's going to come back to get us, to take us back to heaven where our place is reserved. But not only does he conserve and reserve, he preserve. Look at verses 5. Who are kept. That word kept by the what? Power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. To keep something, when you preserve something, you're keeping it safe from injury. We need to continue this protection in an unending struggle to the soul, for the soul rather. The inheritance is reserved for believers, and the believers are guarded and protected until they come into their inheritance or into our inheritance. This word kept is a military term. It is guarded and shielded. The tense of the verb let us know that we are constantly being guarded by God, assuring us that we shall safely arrive in heaven. There's an old song that we sing all the time, how beautiful heaven must be when we all get to heaven, which we sung tonight. No tears in heaven. Aren't you looking forward to that day, my brothers and sisters? There's so much that go on in this world today. We're looking forward to that future assurance that is already there. And we should not get so down on ourselves that we think that we're not going to make it. It is already there. We have to struggle. We have to fight. We have to bite. We have to go through some things in this world. People will get on our nerves. You'll get on your own nerves. But we have to realize that God has a place for us, and it's called heaven, and I know all of us want to go there. We need to look at heaven. We need to understand this place called heaven. God is keeping and man is keeping closely associated to each other. This salvation already exists in saving trust. It needs only to be revealed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Salvation is the end result. In my conclusion, God's power has been displayed in his resurrection. The hope, the inheritance, and salvation all belongs in the future. It's already there, but we hadn't got there yet because we're still going through some things in this world. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I don't care what happens. I cannot wait to get to heaven when suffering is turned into glorious salvation, when pain is turned into peace, when death is turned into this final destiny, when tragedy into triumph. I'm looking forward to that day. All of us should look forward to this day. Let me tell you something. God does not make mistakes. I don't think y'all heard me. God does not make mistakes. God knows exactly what he's doing. He is letting us know that whatever the government takes you through, whatever you take yourself through, whatever your job takes you through, whatever your family takes you through, God said, I got a purpose and a plan for it. You see, this whole virus thing has canceled the NBA, the NCAA, spring training for Major League Baseball, canceled some of NASCAR, soccer. It has torn up a gazillion dollar business. When you put all those businesses together, somebody is going to lose some money. God, whether he caused it or not, is going to teach us a lesson about who he is. You see, we look at this cold. Is it COVID? COVID-19, well, look here, I got an acrostic for it. Christ over viruses and infectious disease. God knows what he's doing. That's why we shouldn't be afraid. And even if we get this virus, which I hope we do not get it, are we going to trust in him? If our home is not there, are we going to trust in him still? If our car is not in the parking lot, I know we'll be upset and mad, want to use all kinds of language and all kinds of words, but at the same time, will you still trust in him? We have future assurance, my brothers and sisters. And that future assurance is conserved. Jesus said, if you obey me, I have mercy for you. I have grace for you. I have the blood that's going to cleanse you till the time you get to heaven. He says, not only do I have I conserved these things for you, I have reserved your place in heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. No tears in heaven. And then he says, it is preserved for us, kept by the power of Jesus. But we got to do some fighting down here. You know, you always hear me about how I used to have a lot of hair, how you used to have a lot of hair, how you ladies used to have y'all cocoa bottle figure, how we used to have our bodies, everything changes. Our bodies are changing. One would ask the question, are we adjusting to it mentally? I'm talking about my brothers and sisters, you have problems. Some of y'all have to take medicine every morning. There was a time when you didn't have to take medicine. Amen. All of us have to take something. I used to get upset with the brothers when I was growing. I used to get upset with Brother LeSure. Always on the, get in his chair, go. He'd be going to sleep. I'm like, I'd be talking to him, man, why Brother LeSure going to sleep all the time? As I got old, I come to find out he was taking medicine. Some of the medicine would make him sleepy. And now that I've gotten to a certain age, I'm taking vitamins and stuff. I haven't really not taken medicine, but I know if I live long enough, I will have to take some medicine because that's just the way the body works. But one would ask the question, will we adjust or will we get stubborn? Say, I ain't going to take no medicine. We got to die, as my daddy said, we got to die of something. I don't need no medicine. Just put me six feet under in a pine box and I'll be fine. And I almost said, Terry, Conjure, let's put him in a pine box. That's what he wanted to do. You know, future assurance. Are you preparing yourself for death? Are you prepared? Because we're not going to live long. There's a lot of folk been dying around here lately. Amen. I'm talking about this virus started over in China, then Japan, then Iran. Then all of a sudden they decided to bring the American folk home. Next thing we know, it's in California, it's in Washington, D.C., it's in Oregon. Now it's almost in every state. I sort of think it was already in the United States before it got here. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But at the same time, God is in control and God is going to take care of you. You heard the word tonight. Do you believe what you've heard? Do you truly believe that God is in control? Believe in him. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By being baptized in him, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. New creations in Christ Jesus. For us who are members of the church,
What if you go to your job and they slapped on the door, quarantine for the next 14 days? I bet you some of y'all get back in your car, I'm off. I'm off for 14 days, you know. But as Christians, we still got to believe in God. We still got to trust in him. And my brothers and sisters, don't ever give up on God, because God will not give up on us. Think about this as we stand to sing the song of invitation. Let us all stand.